listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. If you're new, then you don't know what to do, so I'm gonna let you know. Hit that subscribe button, leave a rating, leave a comment. All of that stuff is greatly appreciated. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty. So, we're in week, I don't know, of this shelter-in-place quarantine, whatever you want to call it, situation. I know we're a couple of months deep. I'm sure you guys are like beyond over it. I know some of you guys are beyond over it because I see on the news you're beyond over it. But either way, this is where we are. We're still here in the pandemic. The COVID-19 situation has been wreaking havoc on everything, and not just like people, but also like the entertainment world, because let me tell you. So you guys know it's that time of the year where we talk about spring finales. This is nothing new. I break it up into a couple of episodes just so it's not super, super long. And already we had some delays with everything getting like pushed out due to what was going on with the whole pandemic situation. So like some of the TV schedules were shifting slightly because they had to make up for episodes that they had not yet filmed. And so we just got, especially on the CW, we got just multiple weeks in a row where it's like, okay, where's the next episode? I don't understand what's going on. I also kind of talked about this a little bit in the both episodes prior to this one, but especially the one right before this one, the spring finale episode, about the delays and just how we've been getting finales that just don't feel like finales. So it kind of makes me feel like a fraud, if I'm telling you the truth, coming into this and trying to discuss or talk about these finales, because a lot of these just were not finales. And so on this episode, I plan to talk about Supergirl, plan to talk about Batwoman, The Flash, and How to Get Away with Murder, which was our series finale, if you will. And I'm going to be quite honest, I really don't have a lot to say, especially about the CW stuff, and I'm going to tell you why. And I also want to forewarn anyone who's new around here that I may be coming off a little feisty, but I'm usually feisty around this time anyway when we get to spring finales, because I just feel like by the time we get here, I'm just like, I'm ready for the seasons to be over, like get us to the resolution. These seasons have been long enough, so I'm already about over it by the time we get to this point. But now I'm like even more extra over it, because it's just like we did not get legit finales, and it did not feel like finales what we got. It felt like, you know, when you're walking, you're going somewhere, you know the directions in your head, and you're anticipating that next turn that you're going to take, and you know the turn is coming, but then you're about to take that turn, all of a sudden someone comes and just like runs you over, and therefore just like stopping you in your tracks. Yeah, that's kind of what these finales felt like. It felt like there was more that was supposed to be said and done, but we didn't really get that. So yeah, Supergirl, we'll start there, because you guys know every season, by the time we get to the end, I'm like, I've struggled with Supergirl. I support, because I love this whole universe. I think I love all the characters, if I'm to be honest anyway. I think the problem, and this is the problem across the board, and this is one of the things that I talked about earlier on when we start discussing spring finales, that I hope this pandemic just makes people relook at the length of seasons. I don't think it's going to do that, especially like seeing some of what came out of Riverdale, how they're going to like tack on those three episodes that we didn't get until the beginning of next season. It was just like, and I have a feeling like that's going to be the case for all of these CW. And I keep saying CW because of all the finales that I've been discussing, CW seems to have been hit the hardest as far as not being able to complete full seasons. So like ending up with like three 2 to 3 episodes that still needed to be filmed. So that's why I keep saying the CW. But there have been multiple shows that have been impacted by this who have not been able to finish filming their seasons. I'm just not discussing those on this show. So Supergirl is always a love-hate struggle situation. I feel like Supergirl is one of those shows like Legends that should not be long. It should have a shorter season just because I've always felt like the storyline throughout the entire season just all over the place. I never really know what the main threat is. I feel like they've been trying. I honestly feel like these past couple of seasons have been kind of like the same theme of like the people are like being, I don't want to say like racist because it's not a race thing, but it's more of like alien hate. I don't think that's a thing, but like there's been all this like alien hate going on these last couple of seasons. And then we had Luther, why do I want to say, because I'm trying to say Lena, but we have Lex Luthor. Oh my gosh, COVID brain is real, guys. It really is real. We have Lex Luthor, who we saw last season, and it kind of was like, okay, like, what's going on? Like, is it going to be a thing? And then he kind of came back at the beginning of the season, and then we had our crossover situation where he actually ended up playing a big part in it, and then it was like, oh, okay, I guess Lex Luthor is here for the long run. And was he? Really? He really was. And so he was kind of like our main villain of the season, and kind of like him and the group who kind of was like the villain in the first half, and then all of a sudden we switched to it being Lex Luthor and him working with them, and then kind of like by the end of it it's like, no, Lex Luthor is the main villain. So I don't know, it kind of, we had a lot going on. We had like Brainy was kind of like one of those, you know, every show that has that character that's like, this is that character who like kind of gives us a little bit of comedic relief if we need it. And he's kind of like the one of the more lighter people input into the situation when it comes to like the different personalities on a team. That was kind of like our Brainy. He had replaced our main person who was that, which was Wynn, and Wynn left. And we did see Wynn for a couple of episodes this season, which I enjoyed because I do miss Wynn. But Brainy had kind of became our new Wynn. And then they have this whole like, and you guys know, I should have prefaced this by saying, because I always say this, I don't read the comics, like no clue what goes on in the comics. I just watch the TV shows, and that is what I am basing my discussions off of. So in this show, Brainy, all of these other alternative versions of Brainy from the different universes all combine into the one, and they're like, you have to work with Lex Luthor. And so he becomes this like non-emotive Brainy, and it's just like, ugh, okay, whatever. Not a fan of this version of Brainy, if you will, but whatever, we're gonna go there. Also, the group that Lex Luthor was working with is Leviathan. When I tell you guys, this is why I've been doing like more like brain games, because I feel like my brain has just been going to mush during this whole situation. So please forgive me for any like brain lapses I have throughout this discussion, because it's not intentional. But anyway, so we have Brainy in that whole situation, and then we have like Dreamer. We know that they were in a whole relationship situation, and then now they're not, and so she's having all these dreams about Brainy, but she doesn't really know what it means. And then it's too late, because by the end of it they come to find out that Brainy was actually working with Lex and not really working with them. And then we have the whole situation going on with Kara and Lena. You guys know I've discussed my feelings on this whole Kara and Lena situation. I feel like Lena was just being like, I get it, you don't like when people lie to you. Trust, I don't like when people lie to me. But when it comes to people being superheroes, and they finally got to this resolution, and she finally decided to understand this point of view by the end of this season, or the, quotes, season, end of season. But when it comes to people being superheroes, like, the whole reason they don't tell people that they know, or their family, or their close loved ones, that they're the superhero or the vigilante, is because they don't want all their enemies to come and attack their friends and family and all that stuff. So that's just something that just really irritated me. And the whole fact that Lena based her whole motivation off of Supergirl lying to her this entire time, therefore she ended up having, what's the word? She ended up having or helping Lex create this whole situation that with and help him in his fight against Supergirl, or his covert fight against Supergirl. Was just like, whatever. So like, I just cannot. I will say though that the one thing that I was like, oh hey, because if I'm to be completely honest, I think I said this last season too. Supergirl is just one of those shows where I just like half pay attention, because I'm just like, it's just too much. It's always too much going on, and I'm just like, whatever. So it's always one of those ones I have pay attention to. But I will say, Alex and her new like get up that John got her or created for her, I was like, okay girl, I see you. So I did enjoy that. But I mean, again, we ended things in a way that felt like there was still more to come. Like, it felt like, okay, we kind of maybe got rid of Leviathan, not really, because it seems like it's, well, Brainy like sucked them into that little thing, and so now Lex has that thing that he sucked Leviathan into. So then it just felt like there was like, okay, like the end was supposed to be the group, or like Supergirl and team defeating Lex and getting the Leviathan people back. So I don't know. I mean, that's where they left it. That's where we're going to keep it. I'm assuming we're going to do the same thing where we're going to tack on the last three episodes that we were supposed to see for this season and tack it on to the beginning of next season. Again, all the CW shows have been renewed. We know they're all coming back. I mean, why would they? That's like the CW's bread and butter, to be honest. And I think they need to start, I mean, they're kind of doing it where they do have some other shows that aren't like related to this universe, but they don't seem to perform as well. So I just need them to like start, like, go back to like the 90210 days, where the 90210 reboot, I love that show. And that was kind of like what the CW was known for, was those teeny soapy drama type shows. And I'm just like, I feel like you guys need to go back to that, because all this world building, you're kind of putting yourself into like a tight corner that's going to be super hard to get out of. And it doesn't help that we just keep adding more shows to this universe. Case in point, Stargirl, haven't even watched it yet, but that one just started airing on the CW, so it's going to be a summer show. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know, honestly. So, and I think this world building is a cautionary tale for a CW, because when we started talking about Batwoman, this is where you see a situation where, okay, I understand and I get why the CW keeps building on this world, but then also these are the consequences that could happen from continuously putting all your eggs into this one universe basket. Batwoman. I actually really enjoy Batwoman. I think it's a really solid show. I went into Batwoman like not knowing how I was going to feel about it. I mean, earlier on in the season, I was just like, oh, I don't know about this. But honestly, it's been that and The Flash have been probably the two shows out of the universe that I've been the most consistent in watching on a week-to-week basis. I think the storylines have been strong in Batwoman, and you have this constant struggle where it's Batwoman and Alice, her sister. You have that kind of play thing happening, and then you have like this underlining tone of like family, where there's like this blended family, and then you have Batwoman or Kate Kane, who is our who's like LGBTQ and that oh my gosh, I was about to say universe. My gosh, my brain like literally feels fried. We have her as an LGBTQ member, and also like this super strong figure in the world that we're in. So you have like all these great things that are working in Batwoman's favor. Great storyline, great characters, strong lead. I told you guys going into this, I believe I said it in the fall TV preview episode, that I was a little hesitant about Ruby Rose being our Batwoman, because I had only seen her in a handful of things, and the handful of things that I had seen her in, I was like, I don't know about this. Like, I really, when I say I was tiptoeing into the season, I was tiptoeing into this season, so I just did not know, but I have to be honest, she grew on me. I think her, as the season progressed, her acting got stronger. She became believable as the Batwoman. And I was just like, okay, I'm here for it. And as much as I was like, the Alice storyline could get repetitive, I feel like they did good in interweaving other like villains and stories into that, and just kind of like continuously compounding on that whole Alice story. Which by the end of it, it's like, Alice is like, she wants family, but does she really? Because like, she killed Mouse and that was her only family that she really knew after she felt abandoned. And even like her drive, like I have issues with Alice because I'm just like, I get it. Because when you go through that situation as a kid, that can shape you in a super strong way where you end up growing up with these different thoughts and these different feelings. But when you actually look at it, like, you can't really go on a killing spree or try to like kill your father and his family, like his wife and his new daughter and all that stuff, because you felt like because he stopped looking for you, he abandoned you, but he went off of the information that he had. So yeah, it hurts, but it's kind of like, girl, really? And then you can't really be mad at Kate she tried to help you. A lot of the times I was just like, girl, let it go. I don't think you're going to be able to change her. But she really tried her hardest. And I think the turning point was when she ended up killing the guy who had been keeping Alice captive. I think that was the turning point for Kate, where she was just like, there is no saving you. Even though I felt like there were other examples earlier on in the season up to that point where I was like, there is no saving Alice. But she really tried to save Alice. So you can't really be mad at her when she finally decides to give up on you. Because you're crazy. She is legitimately crazy. So I, like I said, I enjoyed the season. I enjoyed the storylines. I thought they did a really good job. The finale again was another finale that didn't really feel like a finale. We had what's his name? So like I said, in the finale, we ended with Kate, not Kate, with Alice killing Mouse, and I was just like, oh my gosh. What is going on here? And I kind of didn't really see it come, but kind of did. Like, once we got into that whole scene and she was reading the whole thing where she's like, oh, you have to detach yourself and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my gosh, I think she's going to kill him. I didn't know how she was going to kill him until it was like, we saw him drinking the, the tea. And so she ended up poisoning him. But I was just like, I mean, that shows you how ruthless of a character Alice is. So we have that whole situation happening, but we also know that we ended with her bringing Bruce Wayne back, but it's not really Bruce Wayne. It is the character who was played by Gabriel Mann, who I super adore from Revenge Days. If you are a super, super OG listener, then you remember all of my revenge discussions, but love him. So she ends up giving him a new face or whatever, and he ends up coming back as Bruce Wayne because they need someone to get into the Wayne Tower to get the only thing that can kill Batwoman, which is the oh my gosh, what is it called? The green stuff that can kill Superwoman. I tell you, my brain is just not functioning right now, but you guys know what I'm talking about. You're probably yelling at me and rolling your eyes right now, but that is okay. And so, so that's like her plan. And so, I mean, I guess you can kind of say it was like a finale. It kind of felt like a finale in a way, because it's like, oh, Bruce Wayne's back. Dun, dun, dun. We don't know what's going to happen. But, or you can just be like, wait a minute. But I feel like there should be more. So I don't know. That's kind of where we ended with Batwoman. But I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, I don't really like that this is the finale, but I guess I'll accept it. Only to find out later in the week that Ruby Rose has decided to exit the show. And at first it was like, it felt like the announcement was amicable and super light. And it was just like, I made the decision to leave the show. Like, it was her decision. And I was just like, wait a minute. First of all, CW, all the people behind the scenes, how are you guys creating this universe and you guys aren't doing contracts for these actors where they have to sign like at least a 2-season contract or something along those lines. There has never been a main character to exit the show on any of these shows. And I just think that that was super weird. And they're like, oh, we're going to move forward. Because like I said, all the CW shows have been renewed. They're like, we're going to move forward. We're going to recast. And I'm just like, you can't really, like, there's no way. It's not like you're recasting, like, Kate's sister, her half-sister. No, you're recasting Kate Kane. You're recasting Batwoman. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're going to find someone. I'm sure it's going to be fine. But I'm just right in this moment, like, no, that doesn't make sense at all. But then also, later on in the week, more news. They're like, oh, wait, wait, wait. All the sources, whisper, 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 are like, wait, wait, wait. This was actually not really that amicable. And it's not as rosy as they try to make it appear. There was apparently tension going on the set. I guess Ruby Rose, these are all alleged things, so don't know if it's true or not, but I guess allegedly she was not really feeling the whole process of filming a TV show, because prior to Batwoman she had only worked on movies, so there was a lot of tension there. It just felt like she didn't want to be there, which caused a lot of drama on set. And so they just decided, everyone, that essentially to make everyone pretty much have like some sense of peace or levity, we're just going to part ways. And I knew it wasn't that, rosy, because right after the news broke, I went to her Instagram page and she had changed her whole bio, and it said like all the things that she had worked on. And then for Batwoman, it was like, and I got my red slip for Batwoman, which means if you get a red slip, like in work terms, when you get a red slip, that means you got fired. So I was just like, oh my gosh. So I don't know what season 2 is going to look like. I am nervous. And I'm just like, I don't know. I honestly do not know. And I know sometimes you guys hate when I say I don't know, but I'm just being real. I just don't know what's going to happen in this next season. I'm sure they have like their story planned out and everything, but as far as reception wise, I don't know. Like, it's hard to even, I mean, there are shows where they've recast main characters, like if I go super bad because it's the first thing that popped in my head, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. There have been cases where they've recast main characters and it's been fine, but I don't know. So that's CW. I mean, that's a CW. That's Batwoman. We do have one more CW show, and it's The Flash. And The Flash is also one of those ones. We're in season 6. And I feel like season 7 probably needs to be the wrap-up season for The Flash, because I've complained about this before. I feel like the villains kind of feel a little bit repetitive. When they continue to give Barry villains who are also speedsters. Then we have this whole situation where Barry is losing his speed because he effed up the Speed Force when he was in there messing around, and like he broke up out of there. So you got the team trying to figure out how to save Barry's speed or create their own speed force, which I was assuming that was kind of what we were going to end the season with. It was like, oh yay, we figured it out. But also, while they're doing that parallel pathing, if you will, let's talk about where Iris is. She done found herself trapped in a mirror. So majority of the second half of the season, Iris has been trapped in the mirrorverse. And I think it's so interesting and funny, like Iris's, I guess, what's the word, journey throughout this series, because for some reason in these shows like Arrow, we've seen it on The Flash, a lot of the audience will attack the significant other of our hero. So we saw it with Felicity on Arrow, we see a lot with Iris on The Flash. But I feel like the more they attack her, the stronger they try to make her storyline. And so they've really like transformed Iris' character into being just her own independent person. Mind you, when the Mirrorverse Iris was in our Flash world, or in the real world, I was like, clearly there is something wrong with her. This is clearly not the real Iris. Like, I don't understand why we're not understanding what or understanding that something is clearly wrong with her. And it took a while for Barry to finally realize and figure it out. It took her brother, who we haven't seen in forever, coming back, showing up, being like, yo, is something going on with Iris? Something doesn't seem right. For it to even spark something in Barry to be like, oh, wait a minute, and pay attention, and then be like, okay, no, this is not really Iris. So I'm also thinking like, okay, by the time we get to the end of this, Barry's going to end up breaking Iris out of the Mirrorverse, and Iris is not back there alone. She has a couple of friends back there with her. And so, of course, because we ended things early, that was not the case. So we have no clue what is going on with Barry's speed, if they're going to be able to create their own speed force, which I'm assuming they are, because I mean, the show's called The Flash. Like, what are we talking about here, people? So I'm assuming that they are. We also ended with Iris still trapped in the Mirrorverse, but it seems like she's sort of like acclimating or absorbing the Mirrorverse tendencies. I don't know what to call it. It's like she's becoming one with the Mirrorverse, and we saw kind of like she's getting the same type of powers as Eva, the woman who was like the originator, I guess she would be the originator because she did create it, but also the detainee, the captor of the Mirrorverse. And so it kind of seems like she's getting some similar things as her. I don't know if she would ever be as strong. And then it also makes you question, so would she end up being like Eva, where she couldn't, I guess she can, because at the end when she has that whole press conference after she murders her husband, Eva does, and she's like there and you can see her in the flesh and she's not bouncing off mirrors. So I'm assuming she can keep her real form in the real world, because I believe that was the issue, was that one, like she had to use the mirrors to travel in and out. I don't know. Weird TV science, whatever. But yes, I don't know what that means for Iris, but I mean, who knows what's going to happen there? Yeah, I mean, I thought this season of The Flash, I've always enjoyed The Flash, especially post like there's that super depressing season that they had when everyone was just sad and everything was like, oh my gosh. And then the season where Barry was trying to save Iris because he saw in the future that she was going to get killed, like that whole season, I was like, oh my gosh. But ever since then, we've been like picking it up as far as everyone goes. I think, though, we're at the point where we're good on Team Flash. Like, we don't need any more new people, because a lot of our faves, we were seeing them in and out, in and out, in and out. Not all there at the same time. We saw it a lot with Cisco was missing a few times during this. I feel like we saw Caitlin more so than Cisco a lot this season. We also, Ralph, he was there, not really there. So like, it was a lot of like, we got to pick and choose which ones we're going to have in this episode type of a situation. So when we get to that point, and we've always kind of been like that, but it was more so with Ralph, because I believe the actor was, he wasn't a regular. So that kind of played a piece in it, but I'm pretty sure that he's a regular now. So if that's the case, we just got to figure it out, because it just doesn't make sense to have everyone bouncing in and out, in and out, in and out, and then we just start forgetting about what's going on with some of these people. And also the whole like Joe thing, Joe was gone for long periods of time. We know that the actor Jesse L. Martin, who plays Joe West, like wanted to take personal time away from the show for himself. And I'm blanking because I can't remember if that was earlier this season or was it last season. I want to say it was earlier this season where he wanted to take a break. And so I'm assuming that kind of had some play into his whole storyline type of a situation. But either way, again, another show that ended with a finale that really was not a finale. So we'll see what happens when we come back next season. Hopefully we'll answer all of these questions. Now, moving right along to the kingpin of this discussion, How to Get Away with Murder. You guys know You have to have been you if you know about my How to Get Away with Murder like early discussions, that means you were listening to this podcast when it was Glam Deets and I used to co-host it with my sister because this was one of the this show and Scandal were like the two main shows we talked about all the time. So to see How to Get Away come full circle and be able to end it out on the on a conclusion was, I think, rewarding. Like 6 seasons of, for the most part, solid TV. Some moments there, I was like, I don't know, I don't know. But we were able to bring it all together, and we were able to get everything like super aligned. How to Get Away with Murder is one of those shows that started off with shorter seasons and maintained, for the most part, short seasons. It rounded out to about 15 episodes per season. I want to say the first season was shorter. I think it was around like 10 episodes, but it never went over the 15 episode mark. And you guys know, like, that's about as long as I can take it. But I think what, because a lot of people who I know who watch the show have stopped watching it. So, or we're like super far behind and we're like slowly still watching it. But what I've continuously loved about the show, one is the acting. I think the acting has been super solid across the board. The storylines, while insane, have been pretty solid as well. But I think it just speaks to, let's talk about these kids. Because I've talked about this in, I talked about this last season. I want to say I've talked about this pretty much since the show began. When we start, the whole thing is this season, Annalise is on trial. We keep getting flash forwards to Annalise's funeral. So we're thinking leading up to the finale, and this was a real finale, by the way. Leading up to the finale, we're like, oh gosh, how does Annalise die? We know she's gonna die. We know she's gonna die. Mind you, How to Get Away loves to misdirect us, which is essentially what they did with this whole finale situation, because come to find out, Annalise's death was actually way in the future, and she died of old age, and they kept showing like flashes of Wes, and we're like, oh my gosh, Wes, like how's he in my head? You guys know I'd be coming up with like ways that people could still be alive who died and were supposed to think that they're really, really dead. But in my head, I was coming up with ways that Wes could still be alive. But no, it was not Wes. It was his son, Christopher, who just happens to look really, really, or just like his father. So like misdirection, this show loves it. But all in all, Annalise is on trial. What's left of our what is that? Keating Five. Is we have Connor and we have Michaela. They've taken deals, and Annalise knows that they've taken deals, and so they're just trying to figure out what their deals are. And so their whole thing is they're going to try to just take them down in court. Come to find out, all their deal situations were shady. Michaela, and oh my gosh, why do I want to call her Michaela? And Laurel, yes, Michaela and Laurel, they were able to get deals where they would serve zero amount of time. But Connor, I think his deal was he had to serve 5 years or something along those lines. So let me tell you, Oliver was frustrating to me. Actually, all of them were frustrating to me up until Laurel got on the stand and actually told the truth. Because we haven't seen Laurel for a long, 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 long time. Like the whole, was it this half? Like last season and first half of this season was all about where's Laurel, where's Laurel? Because her and Christopher disappeared. And then finally, the final couple of episodes, she shows back up to testify against Annalise because the government was really strong-heartedly here for trying to take down Annalise and make her take the fall for all of these crimes that we've seen over all of these seasons. And to be honest, Annalise has never killed anyone. And I think that is what's always frustrated me when we start talking about the kids, because they, and I guess you could say it's kind of like a parental relationship with them and Annalise, because it's like a love-hate thing where they look up to her they respect her, but then they blame her for how their lives have turned out. But she may have started this all off. Like, if you go back to the beginning, she should have just let them take the fall for everything that happened with Sam. But she decided to help them out, which led to into a domino effect of her always having to step in and save them. And then they repay that by trying to get her put into jail for years and years and years and years and years. So I'm just like, what? Are you kidding me? So I just think that them trying to blame Annalise for all these deaths and everything that's happened is just not fair. And they know it's not fair. And you could see them struggling with having to get on stand and say, some more than others. Michaela is just her, what's it called? Her personality. Her personality is just the me first personality. So like I don't think she struggled as much as, say, Connor, which even still, I'm kind of like, I don't really know, because Connor has always been like, he's always been the one who has struggled the most since the beginning with everything that they've done, and has always been the one who's wanted to either pay for what they've done or go to the police and be like, this is what happened type of a situation. And then, but you know, Laurel, she clearly, because she got on the stand and she just could not lie. She just told the truth. And so you kind of see the state's case fall apart from then. And then even freaking Nate, where they were like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Nate even was kind of playing it super close to his chest. We just didn't know what was going on with him. And then we see him get on the stand and essentially not throw Annalise under the bus. So I think, like, you could tell, you could see, like, yeah, she's not a perfect person. She's done some wrong things, but what the state is trying to do to her just is not right. But Oliver frustrated me. I think this is the most Oliver has ever frustrated me throughout this entire series of a show since he's been involved in the show. I felt like he was playing, yeah, him and Connor are just married or whatever, and all this is pretty much tearing apart your marriage and your relationship and everything that you were expecting in a first year of being married. But I just felt like he was being super emotional, and the fact that he was so quick to be like, no, Annalise can take the fall for everything, like, you're my husband. I was just like, oh my gosh, I just cannot. I don't know why it bothers me so much that they were trying to make Annalise take the fall for all this stuff when all she ever did was help these kids. Like, I just don't get it. So essentially, the state's case falls apart. Annalise, we see her give a super powerful closing statement where she's essentially like, this is me. This is what I've had to do. This is how I've had to pretend, or what I've had to pretend to be in order to be accepted in my field and in life and all this stuff. But this is me. This is who I am. Take it at face value for what it is. Like, super powerful closing statement. And then the jury came back and they found her not guilty. But then in finding her not guilty, there was a bunch of drama that happened right after on the steps when they're leaving the courthouse, because we kind of find out that Frank is the offspring of Sam and his sister. Disgusting. And as they were hinting at this relationship that Sam and his sister had, I was like trying to go back. I was like, I don't think I got that. But as they're replaying like these old clips, you're like, oh, I could see how that could be. And then come to find out they had a child, and that child is Frank, which could explain why he's crazy. And so after he goes and he finds out, thanks to Bonnie, and he tries to go talk to his mom, but she ends up getting murdered, and all this is like, the governor's behind it. And still, it's like, how much of this did the governor really have a hand in? And as we find out about like the tape between Sam's sister and, oh my god, I can't remember who she's talking to, but come to find out, like, the governor had a hand in this since the beginning, because a lot of this leading up to this, you're kind of like, did she really do all of this stuff? Does it really make sense? But it's like, no, girl, she really did have a hand in all of this. And so Frank is distraught because Barrington told him this, and it's kind of like he's able to use to get his, what he, I can't remember what he got. He got his records from, or the tape that of the conversation between his mom that he just found out and the person who she was talking to for Annalise, and she was able to use that in her case for her benefit. But also Frank is just distraught because, and Frank's always had like emotional issues throughout this entire thing. We've seen his emotional issues with Laurel, and then we've seen kind of his emotional relational issues with Bonnie play out, and then they finally got to the point where it's like, oh, we can be together. But then Bonnie dropped that bomb on him, and Frank was pretty much like, you should have never ever told me that, because who wants to know that they're a product of incest? Like, I don't. I couldn't even imagine. And so he went on a suicide mission, and after the trial, after Annalise is found not guilty and they're leaving, and all of a sudden shots ring out, Bonnie sees Frank coming, like she could see it from the far get. And then she sees him like going towards where the governor is. The governor's walking out. She's talking to the press. And then Bonnie sees him pull out the gun. And then she goes and tries to stop him, but he pops off a few and ends up getting the governor and killing her. But you know, because she's a governor, so she got bodyguards and everything. As soon as he starts shooting, they start shooting. And so then you see, Sam. You see Frank hit the ground, and you're like, dang, Frank is about to die. But in my head, before they even show us Bonnie, in my head, I was like, that was a lot of shots. And because you could see Bonnie like freaking out or whatever. And I was like, I'm surprised she didn't. I'm surprised she didn't get hit, because that seemed like it was a lot of shots. And then, but I think it was like the adrenaline of her trying to save Frank. And then you see Annalise run over. And then that's when they realize that Bonnie has been shot. And then Bonnie dies there in Annalise's arm. So Annalise essentially lost two of her kids. Like, Annalise has lost all of her children, biological and surrogate children, throughout this entire series. So that's why I'm just like, you just cannot be trying to come for Annalise all the time, because I feel like out of everyone, she has lost the most throughout this entire series. So I'm glad that we got to get our conclusion. I thought this was a really great season. I thought they did a great job of keeping, like, giving us those little flash forwards to keep us wanting to come back and figure out everything that happened. But I think justice was served. I mean, at the end of the day, because because Annalise was found not guilty, Connor's rejected the new deal that Oliver had got him, which would have had him not serving any time. So because of that, he still ends up getting taken into custody. And I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of what he's wanted all this time, is to pay for everything that they've done. So essentially that's what he's getting. But that's all that it is. But yeah, that's How to Get Away with Murder, guys. This is the end of our spring finale episodes. Let me know what you guys thought about these finales, or in quotes finales, because they really weren't. But let me know what you thought. You can let me know on social media, or you can like rate and leave a comment there. All that stuff gets to me. And yeah, I will talk to you guys in the next episode.
Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram @currentlybinging and on Twitter @currentbinge.